You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Has there been a particular incident that has prompted the Green Party's call for better legislation to regulate the export of military products?
Sadly, we've had a number of incidents come up over the past year alone that have been uncovered by journalists. It hasn't come out of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in a transparent way, but we've had instances of weapon silences, for example, sold or permits being given by our Ministry of Foreign Affairs for companies in New Zealand to sell them to the UAE military while that military was literally on a UN blacklist for murdering children in Yemen. So, yeah, we've had some really concerning permits being uncovered, and you know, finding out both that the transparency wasn't there, such that we're having to wait for investigations being done by members of the press, and you know, the problems that come with trying to uncover things like that, and then the substantive issue that, you know, literally a UN blacklist for killing of children wasn't enough for our Ministry of Foreign Affairs, our government's agency that was regulating this, to say no.
Why is the status quo not doing enough as is? How come these kind of things have been let through in the past?
The report, you know, so in fact did undertake an independent review, or you know, sort of hired an independent reviewer. So it's still a review that's sort of owned by InFAT, and the terms were controlled by the ministry. So, for example, the review doesn't go into assessing whether or not individual instances of in fact giving permits breached humanitarian law. So we don't necessarily know that, but there has been an independent review now. And what it has found is, one of the most damning things I thought was that they found that risk assessment in the processes around giving military permits were, quote, informal and that there was no set reviewable process around each individual permit being risk assessed. So just anyone looking at a permit on that given day was making their own assessments without kind of having a particularly formal process around it. And when you think about what we mean, what these permits were for, you know, we're talking about potentially aiding war crimes, crimes against humanity, genocide, because we're talking about aiding militaries overseas and giving them weapons, giving them weapon parts, military equipment. That's why there is a regulated system supposed to be there. And the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade wasn't taking it at all seriously, it looks like to me, from this report. And it's particularly heartbreaking. Personally, you know, being a person who's lived in a war in the Middle East, for example, and to kind of be then facing officials in select committee, and we all know none of these things would happen if there weren't countries willing to trade in military goods and in weapons when wars happen. So, you know, it's heartbreaking to find that New Zealand is in this position because our officials weren't really taking it seriously enough.
Mm. What are the recommendations of the independent review? Like, in these instances where there's only informal checks happening, is there a recommendation that there should be a particular method for going through those checks?
It's almost wild, because when you think about the fact that there wasn't enough systems, even, you know, there wasn't enough, so the reports found there wasn't enough transparency, so oversight becomes really hard when there's not transparency, and there wasn't, and then once, you know, they got into looking at what InFAT was even doing, there wasn't, you know, their processes were very informal. The report essentially found, and what I find kind of the most important recommendation is, apart from saying, you know, they need better systems and they need more transparency, it actually recommends that we get a freestanding law that clarifies and regulates these military sales regimes. So that's the exciting part, is that, you know, actually we do need to review the way that we do this, and we need to make it so clear, is to have a freestanding law so we can see and we can, you know, debate and have a whole consultation process, all the things that come with legislating. That will mean that we actually know very clearly as a nation what are our standards, what international commitments, what domestic laws do we want to be reflected in the way that we approve these sales. And at the moment, it feels like the priority has been to let sales go ahead. You know, and in the case of that particular sale to the UAE when they were on the UN blacklist, we have, you know, as again as a result of a journalist investigating, we have the emails that went between very high level officials making that decision, and they sort of said, we can't, there's an email that says we can't rule out that it will be used, that these will be used in Yemen, but we should just let the sale through. It's just heartbreaking. And, you know, and then they, when they came to Select Committee after that had been revealed, and I just put to them, you know, that this is, are you not afraid that you've helped commit war crimes? They said, well, actually, you know, we had looked into it and we're pretty confident that they were only going to be used for training. So, you know, to say that we're okay with training war criminals versus, you know, it just, it's just been absolutely heart-wrenching that people so far away from a horrific tragedy are sitting there kind of going, oh, well, we should let the sale through. You know, maybe they'll just train with these. And they're weapon silencers, so I don't think that anyone is training with silencers and you know, not using them in an actual war. But, yeah, right. So what we need is a freestanding law.
Just to finish off, what is the future of this looking like now? Because it's been this independent review. Is there now just going to be a process of the government looking through this and actually trying to take on these recommendations about instating a law?
My hope would be that, obviously, in fact, in this particular department that does the export control regimes is going to kind of review its processes. But I do feel like it's the case that they're so compromised that we need the minister to step in and actually say, no, we are going to legislate to clarify this for now and for generations to come. We need to go through this process and we need you to see that this is the law. It's not just sort of a discretion that you're exercising. These are our obligations overseas. These are our domestic obligations. This is what you have to take into account every time you make decisions. In the UK, they also have a similar law, but they impose an initial obligation on the exporter to do their due diligence and to show, essentially, that what they want to sell or export isn't going to be used in breach of human rights or humanitarian laws. So there's kind of this corporate accountability piece in their legislation, which I think would be really good for us to explore as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.